You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Show enough!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show enough!
Well, who am I?
Show enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And this is Geek Watch 1. We're here today with Caitlin from the Falcon Academy of Creative Arts, and we also have our friend Greg with us.
And what? Who is Greg? What's his position with
Minion 21?
Henchman 21.
Henchman 21.
Oh, cute. Yeah, Greg is Henchman 21 from Mother Oith Creations. He's going to sit in with us for the show today. Say hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello, guys.
And just like always, Miss Dawn and Miss Vicky are here with us also.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm distracted.
She distracted herself.
She distracted herself.
Okay.
Where?
What?
It was the orgasm scene.
A what? Oh, no. No. She's watching The Fifth Element. You were just laughing about Ruby Rod.
Oh, yes.
It's the one where it's the orgasm scene.
What?
It's a nothing right now.
It's all blacked out.
Explode.
Yeah, okay, Geeksters, before we get distracted, before we even get started, you don't know how long we've been trying to get this show started today. It's just been one of those days.
3 days.
So, where were we at on this? Oh, shout-outs.
Who do
we want to give a shout-out to? Well, Mighty Marvel Geeks. Kyle and I were on there, what, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
We want to tell Mike and Eric, thank you guys. We had a great time. Anybody who wants to check it out, check out their Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wrap-up show that had if I could talk. It was guest starring Kylan and myself, so go check them out. Give them a little bit of love, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I had to stay up extra late, and I was told crap at work, but it was all right. It was worth it. I would do it again, maybe twice in a week. Maybe.
Oh, then also, you had a shout-out for Bart, right?
Bart. Thanks, because when we were talking about Gotham and Barbara Gordon, meaning girlfriend, future wife, maybe, Jim, but we were talking about her in relation to Batgirl Barbara Gordon, and he actually gave us some information to put us on the right path, so thanks, Bart.
Okay, so I think that's all the shout-outs for today, but yep. Kylan, what have you been up to for the last 2 weeks? You and Dawn, have you done anything interesting?
Nope.
What? Nothing?
We did something in the last 2 weeks.
Well, you guys went to see Weird Al last night.
Well, went to see
There we go. We had
Weird
a
Al.
Kylan in the wild. It wasn't Kylan and Ken, it was Kylan and Andy.
Yeah.
And Greg.
And Crystal. What'd I do?
You got on the first base.
Oh, yeah.
Kylan got
the
first base.
I got the first base, y'all.
He did.
Yeah, you know, because I was going with the kickball league, and I was totally going to send that ball across the street to the neighbor's yard, but, you know. I got on first base, so, you know, that was good.
So tell us about the show last night.
Well, the show, it was up in Cleveland at the Nautica, which is like this really nice auditorium, like on the lake. It was nice, except it was stormy.
Yeah, it's one of the outdoor pavilions, if anybody has one of those in their town.
Go, and I would suggest if you have a chance to see Weird Al live, and you haven't, do it. It was a great time. Greg ran to a friend of his that came out, hung out with us, and Andy had a friend that showed up too.
You sound surprised that Andy had a friend.
This is somebody that was following the show. Like, they said that they saw him in Indianapolis, and yeah, they're going to, or
that's
they
Christy
saw him.
Avery. She's a player, man. She gets around.
Yeah,
she saw Weird Al 3 days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, we had Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, here, and then she was going to follow him to Chicago and see him there.
Yep.
Yeah. I wish I could do
that. That's called stalker.
Well, I can understand that kind of, you know, dedication, like if Bob Newhart was on tour or something like
that. Yeah. Or that horse from Animal House.
Yeah. Or Scatman Crothers.
Hey, he died in 1986.
Scatman Crothers riding in on the horse from Animal House. He'd be at every show.
Oh, no. Now you've gone and done it. Now you've gone and broke Kylan again. Well,
that's
Kylan tried
to do video.
Oh, my God.
We got to do a video of this. You guys got to see this at some point.
Oh.
It's okay.
Oh,
man.
The
it's
image
okay
in my head right now.
No. You made it even better. Bob Newhart leading that horse.
Y'all doing stand up.
Oh, you're killing me.
Now, if anybody happens to know Bob Newhart and knows how to get a hold of him, if we could get a phone call for Kylan, you would make his day. You would make his life.
I would love to just have a short conversation with Bob Newhart. He would have no idea why some 44-year-old man from Akron wants to talk to him, but you know, hey, I would do it.
Yeah, oh, followed by the restraining order from
me and Sheldon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, then Andy, thanks to Andy, I watched twice in 24 hours and downloaded the game for Kung Fury.
I heard about that. What is that? I just saw the headline for it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's awesome. You have to see it. It would be a disservice for me to describe it to you.
Well, Vicky, we're going to have to watch that tonight.
It's 30 minutes of compacted awesomeness, cubed, and then, like, dipped in cold fusion, and then brought out, and then allowed to dry in the sun. That's how awesome this is.
Sounds like something Banzai would make.
Yeah, probably. I think that's the only thing that movie was missing was Buckaroo Banzai.
It had better special effects than Buckaroo Banzai.
Ooh.
Ooh. I went there.
Ooh.
But Ken,
yeah.
Huh? I thought on your watch list was Zombie Beavers.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
Ooh.
Not Zombie Beavers. Netflix has a new movie out that's on Netflix called Zombievers. It looks like it's basically zombie beavers attacking people at some camp or something. It looks terribly awesome. So terrible that it can't be nothing but win. Okay, so since we have Greg here, he is one of the chief hench people from Motherwaith Creations. He can actually give us the Motherwaith update. What's going on with Motherwaith?
Nothing. We're doing nothing currently.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, my boss is here, so we're actually doing a lot. Coming up this weekend, we're going to be at Origins selling all of the new exciting wares.
And what is Origins, in case anybody doesn't know, or they've been living under a rock?
Origins is a gaming convention in Columbus, Ohio. It runs for 4 days. It'll start this Wednesday or Thursday and go through Sunday.
Awesome.
Yep. And we're going to have a big booth there. And we're going to be selling the new Low Life, Rise of the Lowly, the Redredged, which just came out this month, actually.
Okay.
And we'll be doing the Misadventure deck will be there. And that's where you add, like, randomness to the game, the role-playing game, using cards. And there's a playing card game, which is just the regular, like, playing card deck. Mm-hmm. A couple of those are coming out. We have Gazoink, which is another card game. I'm assuming Andy's probably mentioned these before.
Once or twice.
All sorts of stuff. And the boss blocker, which is kind of like the DM screen.
Okay.
Back in the day. And we have figure flats, four different ones for like giggities and characters and et cetera for the game. So it's all sorts of fun things.
Okay. What are character flats? Are they like just replacements for miniatures?
Yeah. They're basically, it's a little line of figure pieces. Yeah, that you make together into like a little triangle, and then you can use them as tokens.
Okay.
for the game or to show like how far something is.
And they're lavishly illustrated.
Mm. By Andy.
Yeah.
Lavishly.
Well, and everything that you get from Otherworld Creations is lavishly illustrated by Mr. Andy Hop himself.
Almost everything.
Except the Misadventure Deck, which is illustrated by our Art Ninja intern from last summer, Alicia Durham.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Yeah, Alicia did. I did the art for the box, but she did the cards themselves.
Oh, we'll have to look through that
this
here in a little
bit. Actually really cool because she is... This ties into the Falcon Academy Jazz you're here to talk about. Because she was my intern, but she was from the Cleveland Academy of Art. And so she came up and did this. And this is her first published piece. So, you know, it's pretty cool. She did like 55 drawings for them. And, you know, I got free art for my project.
Which she paid thousands of dollars for.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And is there any new news for Con on the Cob or for the Fall Odd Mall? Anything new development-wise?
Con on the Cob, we need beans, man.
Yeah, anyone who's coming to Con on the Cob, put your games on the schedule.
Submit them.
Y'all are a bunch of procrastinators.
We have tons of tables.
Just like us.
Any games.
But no, seriously, we have a lot of people signed up for the con. We have a lot of people that already got their hotel rooms. And we have a ton of people that are coming to the con and are going to run games, but they're procrastinating their little wazoos off and not adding their games to the schedule. Or there are seminars and events.
Yeah, please, please, guys, because I have a list of events or workshops that I'm about to just throw them on schedule, and people are going to say, hey, oh, there's so much stuff to do. I don't want to do anything, but let me tell you something. If you're coming and you have even half an idea of a panel that you want, let us know. Email us at
KylanandKen@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or go to the Motherwith Creations, Odd Mall, Con on the Cob. All those websites all have an email account on them. If you email any of those, Crystal will see it, or Greg will see it, or Andy will see it, and they'll get it in the right place.
Yeah, because actually we had somebody that got in touch with Andy because of, was it Concoction? It may have been Concoction, and he had a really great idea for a gaming panel, and Andy funneled the forwarded the email to me, and I'm like, this is awesome. This is the kind of stuff I'm looking for, because I can, you know, we can come up with panels, but it's not going to be as good as hearing from the attendees what kind of panels they want. And you know, even if, and you guys know better than maybe we would what you guys want to attend, what you want to learn about, what you want to listen to. Yeah, what games you want to play, all that stuff. So,
also, if you guys, the reason we're trying to get everything on the schedule as early as possible, it's what, 4, 5, 6 months before Odd Mall and Con on the Cob. But if you put the stuff on the schedule now, anybody who doesn't have their tickets yet or trying to decide if they want to go, this shows them what is going to be there. They're going to know what they're in for when they come to the show. A lot of times, if you look at this website and there's nothing there, it's kind of hard to decide if you want to make it or not. Well, is something going to happen or not? So don't wait until the last month. Get it on there early if you have an idea you want to run a game.
And games don't have to be anything fancy. They could just be like your favorite board game that you schedule to sit down and play, and other people can join you.
And you don't even have to own the game. There's
a
huge games library, so you can just send an email and ask if they have the game, and they'll just make sure to have it there.
If there's a game you want to play that you've never played before, email me, and we'll see if we have it in our library, and we'll make sure to bring it along. On a semi-related note, actually it's more than semi-related, I guess it's like quasi-related. No, it's actually directly related. If anybody is coming to Origins this weekend, we'll be doing registrations for Con on the Cob at our booth, booth 547. I believe it says my name on there, Andy Hop, on the map, but it's the Motherwith Creations booth. Come there. If you sign up and buy your badge for Con on the Cob, you will get a special prize. Last year we gave away free t-shirts to everyone who registered at the con. And this year we might do the same thing.
Uh-oh.
Dun-dun-dun.
Sounds intriguing.
So does that cover Motherwith for this time around?
Well, it's pretty important to note that Low Life, the new Low Life book, I know Greg already mentioned it, but this is the official release party going on at Origins this year. No one else on Earth has this book yet except for the few people that bought it at Odd Mall and us. And it's been a long time coming. And the original Low Life was kind of a cult hit and has a big underground following. And this is the new one. and everybody who's anybody on Earth needs a copy. At least 12 copies. You need some backup copies, too.
Yeah, in case something happens to one of them.
I would say just buy 12 to be safe. You know, have one to, like, frame on the wall. Have one that, like, that I'll illustrate for you. Have, like, you know, a couple backups just in case. Keep a couple in your bathroom, so in case you run out of paper.
We have how many holidays coming
yeah.
up?
And, you know.
Yeah, they make great Christmas gifts, birthday gifts.
Exactly. I'm just saying, get 12
bar mitzvahs.
Just to be safe.
That's right.
That's all.
I can safely say it is the only game book that is in the Rare Books and Manuscripts Library at The Ohio State University.
Ah.
That's true.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yep. So you can go look at it there, but you have to go to a reading room. And
but it's better if you buy it.
Exactly.
In all seriousness, if I can, you know, stop being a silly goose for a sec.
Okay.
I worked super hard on this book for the past 3 years. I wrote it all myself and illustrated it and laid it out, and I'm super proud of it. And I'd really appreciate it if you guys would at least take a look at it. Even if you don't buy it, it'd be cool to just, you know, take a look at it. Tell me if you hate it or tell me if you like it or whatever. But, you know,
well,
it's a long process and I love you all.
I can honestly say, being one of the few and proud that has a copy of said book, it's amazing. And I feel guilty opening the book because it just looks so good. You know, just even the binding itself just looks so good, but the illustrations are great.
And having read pretty much every word of the book, I can tell you it's good too.
Thank you, Dawn. Dawn is a professional editor, and she actually helped edit the book.
And she actually had to refer to a thesaurus for a couple of words.
Every once in a while. Andy throws those words
in. I made Dawn look at
a couple of times. I have to make sure it's an actual word and not one you've made up,
well,
because they're throughout.
Because she asked me, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one thing, guys. If you read Low Life, some of the stuff you won't be able to pronounce. Other stuff is like, where did Andy come up with this? This all came from the mind of Andy Hopp.
It will expand your vocabulary immensely.
There were other people had some input too.
And when you're jonesing for an RPG, you're going to play this and you're going to play it again and again and again.
It will become your life.
It will. Seriously. I'm itching to play again. I played once and I'm like, I hate that my life is so busy that I can't play again.
I'm still waiting for my first chance to play.
You know, me too. Actually, though, and I don't want to hog the whole conversation about Low Life, but this is kind of a big moment for me. Living Low, which is the Low Life Living campaign, is going to be introduced at Origins this coming weekend. That's the situation where you can make your own character, come by the booth and get character sheets, make your own character, and you can play that character throughout multiple events at multiple conventions for the rest of existence across the world.
Sweet.
Nice.
Your character will progress and get stuff and jazz and zazz and snazz and spazz.
Cool.
And other things that rhyme with that.
So anybody else who does gaming who's familiar with, like, Living Forgotten Realms for Dungeons & Dragons, this is a very similar situation, right?
Exactly. Living Low, the Low Life Living campaign.
Awesome. So, is there anything else you want to touch on before
nothing
we move on?
All these other people.
Okay, so let's move on to the news. Miss Dawn has a whole list of news items for us.
You had a whole list of news items for us, too. I had a bunch of just little things about who's appearing in movies and etc. For example... by now, I'm sure a lot of you have seen either the video or the stills on set of the Suicide Squad that confirms Batman is in it.
I saw the Batmobile video. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, and there's been some stills of, like, Batman on the back of Joker's car, that kind of thing. So it was rumored for a while, and now that's confirmed. One of the other rumors still out there is whether Wolverine's going to be in Deadpool. And interestingly, it's still a rumor, but last week the movie wrapped. So, I don't know why it's still a rumor.
Yeah.
But they haven't confirmed he'll be in it or not.
So, if he's actually in it, they've done a really good job of keeping that under wraps.
Yeah,
and no one saw him there.
Or some kind of reshoot or something. I don't know. There's been news about the Doctor Strange movie with the character of Death showing up, which also brings in Thanos because of various plot points that Thanos has had with Death. What else was there? Oh, yeah, there was... Netflix series news is that they've been doing readings for Elektra, although they had a couple of videos appear that suddenly disappeared from these from these little readings for the characters, and so apparently they don't want it necessarily released out there that she'll show up in season two, and yet they've had actresses in for it, so that was just interesting.
We still have over a year before they start filming season two, isn't it?
We don't know that because...
No, they said they were going to start going into season two even while Jessica Jones is out.
Yeah.
They're not waiting before all of them are done before showing Daredevil season two. They're going to throw it in there somewhere.
So that's we're going to get that before we get Defenders?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Because it was so popular, they're going to bring it out.
Now, here's the interesting thing because... Daredevil fan in the house, but if they're bringing in Elektra, and we're based on things that happened in the first season, we have a pretty good idea that the hand is going to be in this as well. So
wasn't that?
How about the glove?
He covers the hand.
Well, wasn't the one that he fought near the end of the series? Wasn't he part of the hand?
Yeah, he was in the Daredevil universe. He was like the head ninja of the hand. But there's no guarantee that he's actually dead either, because the hand has...
They never showed his body. Crystal, I haven't seen this episode yet. So we don't
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Here's find out the professor builds a raft out of coconuts. Right.
I had suspected.
Actually Foggy Nelson's uncle.
Exactly.
That's right.
Because, well, see, in comics and soap operas follow the same rule. If you don't see a body...
They might not be dead.
Even if you see a body...
They still might not be dead.
Thank you, Superman, for ruining that.
And Arrow.
No, but Arrow was different because you had the Lazarus Pit.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though. You still see the dead body.
Well, also, we're going to touch on that later on another subject that may change all that anyway. Right. So, after we have an interview with the Falcon Academy people's Caitlin and her friend Sean here before we, then we're going to touch on the Flash finale, and that may change a lot of that.
Yeah, right.
That we're talking about now, so...
Okay.
There was one other bit of news, or it's more casting news. It came out that it looks like Jaden Smith has been cast as Static Shock. Now, you said it wasn't confirmed. Movie.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing, like, there was talk about possibly a Static Shock movie. Seemed like I remember seeing that in the list of DC properties.
The way they were talking about it sounds like it's some type of a series, maybe a digital series for either web series or Netflix or something.
Well, you know what? That'd be cool.
But that Static Shock.
Static Shock was a character that had come out of
a cartoon.
Yeah, it was a cartoon in like the 90s.
Yeah,
was it?
But it actually started off as a comic book first.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it started off as a comic book that DC was trying to introduce characters with more, you know, racial diversity. And so Static Shock was this teenager, a black kid that there's this big moment, they call it the Big Bang or Big Boom or something. And so all these random individuals start getting superpowers.
It's kind of like what happens to the Flash.
Yeah, kind of what happened to the Flash.
He's a mutagen and he just has these powers.
And so he has this ability to manipulate static electricity.
Okay.
And so the thing was, the comic book that
like
the
make
whole
people's hair stand up on end and stuff like that.
Yeah, basically,
kind of sort of something like that.
Like everyone's hairstyle.
The comic that comic line just didn't do well, but he was the one that they developed the comic book series. I mean the cartoon series out of, and he actually got so popular that he actually has a larger role in the DCU now. Because like
the series
future,
wasn't that bad. I thought it was
the
series
it was well written. I actually enjoyed it.
But the thing is, the reason that they're saying this is not necessarily confirmed is because this came out of something that what was his name? Tyler James Smith said as part of a panel or an interview. This is the guy that was in Everybody Hates Chris and The Walking Dead.
Right.
People were asking him about Miles Morales and the possibility that he might play him. And apparently he's going for that role. So they haven't confirmed that, obviously. But he just happened to drop that, you know, I think it's good that Jaden got the part of Static Shock or something like that. Like, he just mentioned it as if it was a done deal.
Yeah.
But... no one has gone back on that and said that it's not true or anything.
Yeah.
So that's the other side.
Well, let's back that up a little bit. where are they putting Miles Morales in? I mean,
they were just talking about people going up for that role. They didn't
I didn't know they were even casting that.
But see, there's been rumors because of the whole Spider-Man deal with Universal that there's was questioned if they were going to.
There was Sony.
With Sony. Yeah, but there was questions if they were going to go with Peter Parker or if they were going to go with Miles Morales.
That's the first thing I thought is, like, are they going to keep Peter Parker in the main Marvel?
We know that they have Peter Parker.
Right, but we know that. So
that's why I was like, are they going to put Peter Parker in with the Avengers, the main Marvel universe, and then you just Miles Morales and Sony?
I don't know. Yeah. My speculation is that Peter Parker will be in Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah. Die. Oh, that's already all but confirmed.
Right, but then Miles will take over after he dies.
See, and I think we will get a better idea of this after Civil War ends,
because
I have some theories regarding that.
Well, the question is right now. It's supposed to be almost any day now. They say they're going to announce who Peter Parker is.
Yeah.
And the biggest contender is Asa Butterfield, who's like 15.
Right. Yeah, I knew they were going for someone a lot younger.
But the thing is, though, is that the person who would show up in Civil War, or is that just for the standalone movies? That's the other issue.
No, I think they're casting for Civil War right now.
Yeah.
But because I don't think... I just can't see them, like, killing him off in
Civil
War.
They've already started filming.
I thought they had already started filming.
Oh, yeah, they started filming, but it doesn't mean the cast is all done for that.
I understand.
Well, see, the thing is... Peter Parker, I always liked the idea of a younger Peter Parker anyway. The idea of them killing off someone, such a young character.
And why would they cast someone new just to kill him off?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Well, that's what goes back to my original idea of how to bring in the Spider-Man into the verse there is now without having to reset everything again. Would have been, if they're going to kill him in Civil War, why not just bring Andrew Garfield in, go ahead and kill him, and then move on with Miles Morales.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So it's like, you could have wrapped up the original Spider-Man universe.
The talk about Civil War is that Black Panther is going to take the role that Spider-Man takes in the books.
Okay.
So that Spider-Man won't actually be as important a character.
Yeah, because he's huge.
And then they'll follow with either killing or severely injuring Captain America.
Oh, I was just saying that Spider-Man, they're not that smart.
Oh.
You know what would be awesome?
What?
Is if they got Eddie Murphy to be Black Panther, and it turns out that, you know, he's the prince of Wakanda.
Right.
What if Wakanda was actually a different name for the nation from Coming to America? It was Prince Akeem from Coming to America, and it was the same guy as Black Panther. That would be awesome.
That would work.
There's a little bit of an age gap, I think. Or maybe he's the king now. Like, have Eddie Murphy play the king, and his son is Black Panther. You know what I mean? Like a crossover.
It could
way
work.
Back in the day. That was like, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, it was 30 years ago.
Huh? But, you know, what do you think about that?
I like it.
That would work well.
I'll call him up.
You make that happen, Andy.
I'll call Bob Newhart and have him call me.
Yeah. Do it. Do it.
Get on that.
Okay, what else do you got for us, Miss Dawn?
But I actually have a little bit of gaming news that's big for Star Wars fans.
Okay.
That you can own your very own Star Wars Battle Pod.
I heard about this.
They decided to not only release these new battle pods to places like Dave and Buster's and all the big arcades and stuff, but...
I think right now that's the only place you can play it is Dave and Buster's in America.
Bandai Namco has actually said for basically about $100,000 you could buy one for yourself.
Andy,
finally. So there you go, Andy.
You need one for the basement.
For the
basement.
Promised all my money to the Falcon Academy.
Hey guys,
I have
$11.
So if you got that many people to donate to Oddmall? No, in the interest of keeping Oddmall free, we can have the battle pod there.
$100,000, you
say? $100,000.
Well, okay. Apparently, you can get a standard basic version for $36,000.
Oh.
Premium is $100,000. So there's a range.
$68,000 premium.
I don't know what the difference is.
That one actually has graphics that are up to date.
But then there's the question of whether you get the Rebel helmet or the Vader helmet.
Oh, Rebel.
You know, Vader. I say Vader.
I don't want to play Vader's head.
Vader.
Everyone needs to play Vader's head.
You would say Vader.
Kylan's a Vader hater.
You know what it is? This $36,000 version is the cabinet with the original Atari Star Wars in it.
That's what it is. The Rebels are not terrorists. Right.
They are.
No, the Rebels are... Because the Empire is a legitimate government, they're an oppressive government. The people are not being heard. The rebellion is a voice of the people. They are not terrorists.
They're freedom fighters.
The Empire is legitimate, and they're not oppressive. They're just bringing order to the galaxy.
No, I think the Rebels should have just wrote petitions and stuff instead.
They should have marched and protested.
They finger paint.
Door to door getting petitions signed.
Leia, we are going to join hands and finger paint in a spirit of love and togetherness.
And
we will
kumbaya.
The Empire would love that. Yeah, they would.
I'm sure there's a John Williams version of Kumbaya. I had to make sure to have game news. That was the one bit I found.
Well, actually, I have some sad news that you don't have on the list yet. Uh-oh. In case anybody hasn't heard yet, it's time to toll the funeral bells. Tron 3 has been canned.
Aww.
They're not going to be moving forward Tron 3. According to the... hang on, let me bring it up here. I have it from the Hollywood Reporter. According to them, because of the lackluster... growth and actual first weekend for Tomorrowland, they've canceled Tron 3. I mean, Disney has a large slate of live-action movies coming in the next couple years already, so this is just one thing they're taking off. What they're bringing back in, Disney's actually, under the Disney banner, has the next few years they have Jungle Book, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and Beauty and the Beast still. So this doesn't mean they're not going to possibly come back later, but as of right now, they've canceled Tron 3.
And they're not all that worried, considering they're making all their Marvel money now.
Yeah.
And Star Wars.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Marvel and Star Wars money.
And soon Indiana Jones money, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a toxic.
Maybe they'll get you to play Indy this time.
They talked to me about it, but I was like, you know, I'm out of that hole.
You could be
like,
Short Round.
I will look for Short Round. I will be Short Round.
I'll do Indiana Jones, you can be Short
Round. There you go.
There
you
go.
What are you talking
about? Do you have any other news? I have a couple if you have to them.
The only other thing I have was actually business news that came out the past week about Hot Topic putting in a bid to buy the parent company of ThinkGeek.
That'd be an interesting merger.
They pretty much sell the same stuff anyway.
They do. Yeah, ThinkGeek is a little more techie geeky. Hot Topic is a little more for your favorite teen goth.
Yeah.
But... They are both. That would be kind of a monopoly on, you know, ironic, geeky, funny t-shirts. But apparently Hot Topic wanted them badly enough that they offered them like $20 a share. And prior to that offer, the shares were going for single digits.
Okay.
Once people heard that offer, they started going for $17.50.
Okay.
Or something. And so that hugely upped their value, period. And once that happened, someone else put in a bid for ThinkGeek, but they haven't released who that second bidder is. apparently, it may be Mr. Andy Hopp.
That's why you can't buy a battle pod.
That's why you can't afford anything else right now. All it comes down to is
Biggie
that
said it was Walmart. They put in the bid.
Lord, hopefully not.
It's an alpha beta for Revenge of the Nerds.
Basically, what it comes down to is... that one way or another, it seems that ThinkGeek is being sold. And considering how popular it is, I can't really see them changing it if it is Hot Topic. One thing I saw someone post was that maybe that means we'd actually get ThinkGeek retail stores.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Which would be really cool, because they've got so much stuff in there that's for, you know, a slightly higher age range than Hot Topic, and it would be nice to see it in person instead of just buying it all online and stuff. So,
right.
So that's kind of developing news, because nothing is settled, and like I said, there's a mysterious second bidder. So,
well, I mean, it's only good for ThinkGeek. I mean, about 2 or 3 months ago, I had gone on to try and get the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wallet, and like all their other wallets were like sold out. It took like 3 months for them to get enough stock for it.
They do run out of stuff. Like, they have limited care. Like, I've been wanting to get the Wampa throw rug for quite some time. And
right.
Every time I tried to, it sold out. But we did get the Tauntaun sleeping bag, which is super
cool. You got that?
Yeah, Ellie has it.
Oh, we gotta see that
later. It's awesome. It's in the laundry room.
Sweet.
You listeners at home, it's in the laundry room.
The one thing I didn't realize, though, looking into this, was that ThinkGeek did not just start as online retail. It's owned by GeekNet, and which was once part of a company known as the hottest IPO on the block before the dot-com bubble burst. So it actually started out as a tech company, and ThinkGeek Retail was just one of their arms. And it became so popular that essentially that's all GeekNet does now is ThinkGeek. So I just thought that was kind of interesting that they didn't actually set out to become a retail wonder.
See, now I got a country song going through my head, but I want to change the lyrics to say, "A geeky boy will survive." A geeky boy will survive. I don't know.
I'm not familiar enough with country music to know what song.
I work with people that play country music sometimes. That's my only reason why.
That was Charlie Daniels, wasn't it?
Huh?
The original version was Charlie Daniels, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so.
A country boy will survive.
Country boy will survive.
The only country songs I know are "The Dove Went Down to Georgia," "To Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy." That's it.
I think I have the same ones. So
I know pretty much all of Kenny Rogers' early stuff.
Yep.
My parents used to listen to it in the car when
I was a kid. Oh, yeah, The Gambler. But see, The Gambler isn't like a country song.
I don't consider that a country song. I don't know why. No.
But is The Devil Went Down to Georgia?
The Devil Went Down to Georgia is Charlie Daniels.
That's rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it may be rap, but try to do that at karaoke. If you don't have that thing memorized,
I did it.
Don't work.
That's right. See, that's because I just...
It's like proto-fusion jazz, hip-hop, techno, dance mix.
It is.
That's right.
With little jungle rhythms in there
little drum.
I think that covers everything on my list, by the way.
Okay. Well, I had a couple more we haven't touched on. Some of these you guys may have heard of, but if not... this is for JD, because he's always yelling that we never cover Gotham. Well, there's news that came out of Gotham that two of the characters that were introduced this year will be series regulars next year. Lucius Fox and Harvey Dent will actually be series regulars next year.
Woo!
Awesome. So they're going to see a lot more of the two of them. So we may actually see the actual origins of Two-Face.
Yeah. True.
So,
I just hope they do a Captain Cold crossover.
You'll stop watching the show at that point, Andy.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. He'd be in diapers.
Yeah, he would still
That's
be
right,
a little
he'd
kid.
Be in diapers.
Hey, Maria Bakarin's on the show, though, right? She's going to still be on.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
So that one, the same article, that I got this off of Newsarama. They pulled it off a couple other places. But Andy Serkis's character from Star Wars has a name now. Andy Serkis is playing a CG character, but he is the Supreme Leader Snoke.
Not Jar Jar Binks. Good. When you said a CG character, I was...
Okay. But it looks like he's the leader of the First Order or something like that, so... We have a name. We don't still know what he looks like, but...
Yeah, the only picture they put out was that mocap one with all the dots on his face.
With cameras all the way around him and things.
He looks like a studio gangster.
I got a quick one for WWE fans out there. Anybody who hasn't heard yet, Sheamus from the WWE is actually playing Rocksteady in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. So it looks like Bebop and Rocksteady will be in this new movie.
Booyakasha!
there's actually an image out there already of the two of them in costume.
They've done a good job of making them look like they're mutated characters before they get mutated.
Yeah.
But if I remember right, that's the way it was in the original show, too. If you look at the two characters before they mutated,
they look
very similar and just added the characteristics
and
of the animal.
Okay, I don't know current WWE stuff. Does Sheamus actually have an accent?
Yes.
Yes, he is
Scottish.
From Australia. Or not, Australia. Ireland. He's Irish.
Sure. Yeah, because I know in the current Turtles cartoon, he has an accent.
Yeah, he is.
So,
his is
I don't know if they're necessarily going to keep it that way.
He would need to do a lot of work to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, one more that I wanted to touch on was we got news from... this is actually speculation, kind of. Variety is reporting that Chris Pine is actually in talks to play Steve Trevor in the new Wonder Woman movie.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard that.
So that could be interesting there, but that's all I had on this at the moment.
I'm not greatly concerned about that. My concern was more who was playing Wonder Woman, and I'm still not happy with it, but... I was never greatly concerned about who might play him, so it could have been anyone.
There's one other story about the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
They're doing a remake/reboot of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The unfortunate news is that it's Fox again, so they have a chance to screw it up one more time. But the hopes are that they will do it right this time.
Yeah, but I hadn't read the comics, so I thought it was a fun movie.
So, yeah.
I couldn't get into it.
If you haven't read the comics, I could see the movie being good. Mm-hmm. But those who have read the comics really love them, partly because of the more academic nature of a lot of it. Like, there are tons on every page, there are literary references.
Yeah.
And, but it's all very English, very British. And, like, in the movie, they threw in Tom Sawyer because, you know, oh my God, American audiences won't like it unless there's an American literary figure, which messed things up.
And well, they should have used the old man in the seat.
That's right.
Well, the nice thing about this now is we've seen that a lot of the studios are looking that comic books can work with exactly what was on the page.
Exactly.
Right.
At this point. At that point, people were still scared of, like, superheroes in their costume.
Right.
Right.
And all these other things, so... We got a chance of actually having it pretty good this time.
Yeah, yeah, but next, I don't think that movie did that story justice at
no,
all.
No,
I was very disappointed.
It looked pretty. Like, it had a good look
to
it.
Oh, yeah, it looked beautiful.
You know, like, the Nautilus was an awesome-looking sub, and the limos and everything. They were gorgeous. But, yeah, it didn't even pull out a tenth of what's in the comic.
I mean, you, like, when you... the one thought I had from reading the at least the first adventure was... You almost had to have had, like, English Lit 101 and maybe 201 to get all the... That one, too. I mean, because there was all these little references that I just mm-hmm. loved, and there were even a couple of references I was really surprised were even in there, mm-hmm. and I'm like... And I knew better than to expect that level in the movie, but at the same time...
You hoped for a little bit.
Huh?
You hoped for a little bit.
I hoped for a little bit, and it just wasn't...
So, yeah, hopefully now that they know that movies can do well that come almost directly or fully from the comics, that they'll work with that now.
I mean, V for Vendetta was pretty... Well,
V for Vendetta was closer.
It was closer
book.
To the source material.
Yeah.
And it was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It didn't do well, but I don't think that type of story plays for a wide audience.
No, it doesn't. No. No.
So, but... I think right at this point we're going to get into the interview with Caitlin and Sean with the Falcon Academy, and we'll see you guys right afterwards.
Hey, Geeksters. This is Kylan, and I'm here with Ken, and we are here with Caitlin and Sean of the Falcon Academy of Creative Arts.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So, what is... The Falcon Academy of Creative Arts. Now, Kylan and I met you, what was it, a year ago at Odd Mall? We met Caitlin, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, we met at Odd Mall, and then I kind of emailed Andy about us advertising about our school there because we're an arts-integrated school for grades 3 through 8, which is really neat and really, really nerdy.
Hey, we're all about really nerdy and geeky here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you fit right in at FACA then.
Yes.
Awesome. So, what you said that's what the school is, but... What kind of kids come here? Do you have to be art-oriented as a kid, or is it just...
Yeah, you don't have to be art-oriented necessarily. We have some very talented kids there, singing and performing and artistically. But also, like Caitlin said before, if you learn in a creative way, you learn through the arts. We try to incorporate the arts as much as we can in our lessons. So even if you're not great at that, which... I would say I'm on that spectrum, but learning that way, we're a great school for those types of kids.
We're very, very hands-on.
Well, I was doing research on your school, and that was something I picked up. It seems that it's a great opportunity for parents of geeky kids who maybe, you know, seems like they like to sing, you know, their favorite... I don't know, cartoon theme, or mm-hmm. they like drawing superheroes. That,
yes.
That, you know, that's a great way of taking those abilities or talents and using that to, enrich the educational experience.
Yes. For example, one of the things I do with fifth grade social studies is called the biographical tea. And what students do is they pick a historical figure that they feel influenced American history, and they read a biography, they write a report, they create a timeline, but then they also create a costume, and they practice their acting skills and becoming that character. And then we have a great big party in the gym, and we invite parents and grandparents and community members, And what they have to do is they have to ask the kids questions and guess what historical figure the kids are. So history really comes alive for them, and they incorporate the arts that way. And it makes it more of a meaningful learning experience. And we do a lot of things like that at FACA.
That sounds awesome, because I know for me growing up, I had a... Before I became an adult, I didn't realize I have ADD. Real bad. I mean, if anybody who's listened to the show knows this, just by listening to it. But my problems in school was not always... I had no problem learning. I had no problem with all the tests and stuff, but it was going home and doing the homework and actually doing the work. That was my problem, because it was, a squirrel. And I'd lose it. So it's like, this sounds like it'd be the perfect place for kids like that.
Because if it's work that you're interested and exciting to do, then you don't get distracted like that. If you have to go home and make like a comic strip about something you learned in class, you're going to be excited to do that.
Yeah, I did very well in school, and just a traditional public school, and but I was bored. You know, FACA is a place where you can't be bored. If you're bored there, then in my opinion, there's nowhere for you that you're not going to be bored. Because I mean, we do a lot, like Caitlin said, a lot of hands-on things and try to do things differently. For example, in language arts this year, in my class, we were reading a nonfiction article about cereal sales and things like that, and that turned into a group project where we came up with new advertisements and a new way to do cereal, a rebranding of cereal. And the thing these kids came up with, like, you actually wanted to eat some of the things they came up with. And one group came up with putting cereal milk in a container together, but that they were separate, so you almost drank it. And then the fluid kit. I mean, just random stuff that came up, but that came out of a nonfiction reading that we were doing, and it kind of evolved into some hands-on group project that wasn't necessarily planned.
But it was neat because then it tied in economics. They had to think how to solve this cereal sales issue. They had to use language arts. They had to use math. They had to use science to come up with those things.
So, in a way, you're almost giving them a university experience, but an elementary level.
Right, we're grades 3 through 8.
So you guys also have to take, like, the state tests and that sort of thing. Do you guys get reports on how your kids perform in relation? And I'm just curious, because I have an idea, but I want to get confirmation from you on this. How do they tend to perform?
We are actually one of the top performing charter schools in the state. I think the last rankings that came out, we were like 12th in the state.
So that's what I figured.
Yeah. I mean, our students, we follow the Common Core standards. We take the same state tests and we do all that sort of stuff. We just really try to focus on presenting the information in another way and collaborating and being creative and not putting so much focus on passing these tests and stuff. I mean, we do.
Right.
But that's not, in our opinion, that's not what we're there to do, is just to pass these tests, and that's all school's for. We really try to make it a learning, collaborative, creative environment.
And we have the specials and things. That's something that's being cut in a lot of schools because of testing, but our kids still get art, music, gym. We have an exploratory art period at the end of every day where the kids take different things and they rotate through them. We have Destination Imagination, which is a critical thinking and problem-solving club. We have a spring musical. We have a really good choir. So we have all these really neat opportunities beyond just the classroom.
That actually answers one of the questions I had. Was a lot of time people think of charter schools very similar to kind of like homeschooling, but just at another facility. But you guys actually still have all the extracurricular activities, things that a normal school would have.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, were you guys modeled after like another program, like someplace else? Are there other schools that are similar to your format, you know, around the country?
Yeah, there are similar schools. When we first started, some of our staff toured the Toledo School for the Arts and Miller South, which is a school in Akron for the visual and performing arts. But again, we're arts integrated, and those are a little more based on like being a performer or being an artist. So we're kind of unique in this area, but I'd say in the country, it's not necessarily a unique thing. There are schools like us other places.
So, so I guess it's safe to say that for the listeners that who are listening to this interview right now, that this is something that is not strictly unique to Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. Yet maybe if you're looking for a more enriching educational experience for your kids, maybe do some research and you may find something similar where you are.
Yes.
Well, speaking of that a little bit, if parents are thinking about this and their kids are struggling in school and they're having a problem in mainstream school, if they wanted to do something like Falcon Academy, does it cost them any more or is it not cost them or how's this work?
We are a tuition-free school, so our funding is strictly state-funded, 100% state-funded. So, yes, the students have an opportunity to come there if this is something they're looking for. We don't have an audition process like, you know, some of these other schools mm-hmm. that are for performers mm-hmm. or artists. So in that case, yes, really it's not costing you anything to come there. And if you wanted to try it, we're open to anybody.
Yes.
Okay. And do you guys have like a certain district or can anybody from anywhere, as long as the kids can get to the school, can go?
Exactly.
Okay. That's great. So anybody listening, how would they actually find the Falcon Academy of Creative Arts if they wanted to check into the school?
Our website is falconacademy.org, and we're actually moving, which is one of the things that we wanted to talk about.
Go ahead.
We've been located in Brimfield for the last 5 years, but we're breaking up with Field Local Schools for a variety of reasons, but it's working out to be something really cool. Because we're moving to the Ellet area of Akron on Wedgwood Drive, mm-hmm. Behind Acme. We're getting this huge building. So we're kind of doing an enrollment campaign right now because we have more spots available.
So is that actually part of the Acme complex?
Yes.
Or yes.
Is that the old Peronio's building?
Yes.
Okay. That place is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wrestled in that building a couple times when it was Peronio's when they had the gymnasium set up there.
Okay. So yeah, right now we're kind of saying this is Act 2 for mm-hmm. us, the second phase of what Falcon Academy is, and this space that we're moving into is completely just a wide open spot right now. So we're kind of going the artistic route that it's a blank canvas for us. So we're going to go in and whoever's going to be there this coming year, the next couple years, is really going to be able to contribute to that blank canvas and turn it into a very special place, even more special than what we've had for this last 5 years, because it's going to be something that we've said, we're the square peg into the round hole. You know, right. our classes, my mm-hmm. classes kind of talked about that.
Yes.
And FACA is that square peg or the square hole for all the square pegs out there. So, you know, you can find a space there. And we're hoping that this physical space will also be something that fits us instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've been in an old kindergarten building for the last 5 years. And it's a very traditional setup of a school, so we're hoping to find something and kind of FACA-ize it.
Yeah, we use our name as a verb, as a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to admit, when I was in high school, I was taking physical science my freshman year, mm-hmm. and I'm terrible at math. I just am. And I hated that about myself. I have a twin sister. She's great at math. I was more a history, English kind of person. But I loved physical science. Still terrible with the math part. But then a show that may hopefully you guys remember called MacGyver
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah. came on. And I'm sitting there watching. I used to watch it with my grandmother. And there was this one episode where he's teaching physics while playing pool. And he was using physics as a example for life lessons. And all of a sudden, something clicked for me. I walked in class the next day, and for the rest of that semester, at least during the physics part, I was catching it. It made sense to me. And it's awesome that there is this opportunity for kids to take, who are able, they're given the opportunity to learn, you know, using, you know, their interests and their geeks, whatever it may be, and you know, being able to become use it in an educational environment. I like that.
Yeah, and I would love to use MacGyver references there.
Go ahead.
That'd be awesome. If I could.
The kids don't get him anymore.
No, that,
well, he might be on Netflix. I'm not sure.
he is on Netflix.
But, oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
We try to do things like that to reach him in different ways, and, you know, maybe you'll get MacGyver and he doesn't, but mm-hmm. if we can get it to click for you and then find something else and it gets click for Ken, and, you know, that's what we try to do there.
I use Han Shot First to teach character development and language arts because I think that's an important issue.
Yes. it says so much about the... It's a perfect character development... what's the word
example?
I'm looking for? Example, thank you.
I'll explain what that is to you later, Sean.
Well, we talked about the school and some of the kids and how to find it, but what are some of the challenges you guys actually have had to deal with? I mean, I know you've changed buildings now, but what can people do to help out you guys? What challenges are you facing?
Well, we're currently crowdfunding because we're trying to turn this building into a school, and we're on Rocket Hub. Is it .com or .? I have it in my phone.
Well, Dawn can find it, too, so.
Go to Rocket Hub, and then if you look up the Falcon Academy of Creative Arts, we have a crowdfunding campaign because we're trying to raise $30,000 to go toward fixing up this building.
Okay. Any idea where you guys are at on that, or how long has it been up there?
It's been up, I think, since the beginning of May.
Okay.
And we have $515 currently. But there are some pretty cool prizes and thank yous. For example, if you were to donate $50, you'll get a print of some student artwork. And we have some really cool, really neat artists in our school that have been doing some really nice stuff.
Okay, and Geeksters out there, why don't you help out this school? They need some help and some support from Geeksters. Also, Kylan and I have been throwing around ideas. We're going to talk with you guys later about possibly doing some fundraising stuff down the road, too. So
that'd be wonderful.
We'll keep all you Geeksters informed in that. Kylan, did you have any other questions right now?
Actually, you guys just answered that question. Oh, you know what? I do have one.
Okay.
Because this is Geek Watch 1. Sean, I know you're a muggle, but...
I called you a muggle earlier behind your back.
There
I'm
has
sorry.
To be some deep inside you. I'll have to know, what is your geek?
What is my geek? Oh, man.
It doesn't have to be anything that's actually geeky.
Like, it doesn't have to be like anything sports. Like I mean, what you see around you.
What, something that you're an extreme fan of.
All right, well, I would say it's usually been sports and coming into FACA. And working with Caitlin here has kind of turned me and realized I do have a geekier side. And then looking around the room here, and like I said, this is what I would like it to be. I was always into like WWE growing up. Huge geek. And I still have the WrestleMania trilogies. I don't tell many people that, but I got the
WWE. Hey, there's nothing wrong with like
you know
wrestling.
The WWE or in any other wrestling organization has a huge presence in the geek community.
Yeah.
I have been to a couple of conventions where there are actual wrestling, like mini wrestling events. So, you fit right in.
Yeah.
That, you wouldn't realize how many actually wrestlers out there are geeks. Guys that travel from show to show through the airports
really?
That have like a stack of comic books in their bag.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And actually, I met my wife in a wrestling ring.
I was
helping to train the class, and she was one of the trainees.
Oh, man. I'd have liked to get married in a wrestling ring, you know, give her like a suplex or something like that, you know, to seal the deal.
I have a video on YouTube of me actually suplexing her.
Oh,
man.
Oh, no, she was suplexing me. Either way.
I could see that happening, actually.
So let's.
Oh, let's
bring this to Caitlin. What's your geek? What's your main geek?
Probably sci-fi. I'm so geeky that my dad walked me down the aisle at my wedding to the theme to Star Trek The Next Generation. And then
nice.
We all walked back out of the church to the Star Wars theme.
You're giving me feels right now.
That's like
it
my
was
wife,
beautiful.
That's like my wife and I again. We actually had a recessional at the end walking out of to the throne room theme from episode 4.
Nice.
New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we had other stuff throughout the whole wedding. Too.
Oh, yeah. We had like during the candle ceremony, we use some of the Anakin and Padme music and all kinds of things like that.
My little sister's getting married next year, and her fiance is real big into wrestling, so I'm trying to get them to allow me to announce, intro. And I want to do, all wrestling things and stuff like that. And so,
That'd be awesome.
You could do, a wrestling interview and,
throw a microphone to start there. Yeah. She's not up for that, but I'm really trying to get on his side and see if we can do that.
Instead of rings, they get a belt.
That's what I said. Get tag team championship belts,
Sounds awesome. Okay, so actually, I'll talk to you about that in a minute, but so if that's all we have for the moment, did you guys have anything else you wanted to let the Geeksters know about?
Just check us out at falconacademy.org and look in the link for our crowdfunding page, because we could really use some support from the geeks out there.
And if nothing else, hopefully we opened your eyes that there are other options out there for people, and besides traditional school settings and stuff, like you said, that all across the country, find what works for you, you know, the kids who have the ADD, who, you know, just need to find that link to that learning. It's out there.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Remember, like, when Kylan and I and Dawn and Vicky were all in school, there was no option. You had your traditional school, and if you didn't fit, you just kind of flew under the radar and no one cared.
Yeah, that was me.
Now, guys, there are options out there. It's not going to cost your parents all that that much extra money, if anything.
Right.
So, thank you for being with us, and we'll be back with you in a minute, Geeksters. Okay, Geeksters, welcome back to Geek Watch 1. That was Caitlin and Sean sitting there talking to us about the Falcon Academy of Creative Arts. Miss Dawn will have all of the information on how to get a hold of them in the show notes later, and Caitlin's still here with us, so she'll tell us at the end of the show and let you guys know again how to get a hold of them. Next, we had a great mind-blowing finish to The Flash a couple of weeks ago. So, Kylan, what'd you think of the finish of Flash?
I loved it. It was, that was one of those episodes where I'm sitting there, and the thing is, they were ramping it up for the last, what, three or four episodes. It seemed like every episode could have been a season finale, And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and from beginning to end, my jaw's on the floor. And the last scene, the final scene, was just it was just breathtaking. And you take that coupled with the season finale for Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea where the show is going to go from this point.
Well, it was weird because the show ended where I thought it would probably end, and that's with the whole resetting of time. It looks like,
yeah,
but they went in a weird way. I did not see Eddie Thawne killing himself, and actually that causes time to reset.
That was, the biggest twist of that whole show, that whole episode, was Eddie shooting himself.
Yeah, because we're sitting there, and, you know, there's that whole scene going on, and the confusion, and all of a sudden, gunshot, and we're like...
Yeah, it's like, who got shot?
and he's pointing the gun at himself, and for him to understand time enough... if he took himself out of the equation,
that was like, yeah. He was living up to what Dr. Stein told him, right? That he was the one thing in science that every scientist looks for but can't ever figure out how it works. He was coincidence.
Yes,
it just happened that he was in the right place at the right time.
Even though Eobard was telling him, "Well, you don't matter. You're the least important member of the family, blah blah blah."
Exactly.
It completely played him, it completely downplayed him, and he ended up being the biggest, at least at this point, the biggest part of the family line.
See, we don't know if he was being lied to anyways.
That's true. You know, because Eobard is all about, you know, he had to preserve his place in history and in time at that point, anyway.
Well, let's jump to the end real quick. That giant black... No, was that actually the black hole? Or what do you think that was that happens at the end? My theories.
I think it was a singularity because of Eddie taking himself out. You ended up with a time paradox. And I believe what you have is a singularity.
See, I think you'd use a singularity, but not as a black hole singularity. I think it would be like a time storm, where that whole thing is time trying to reset itself now. Because you got to think, Eddie gets rid of himself now, because everybody assumed, and it was right, Barry's mom is going to live.
Yeah.
Well, how does it happen? Well, if Eobard doesn't go back in time to kill her, she lives. Even though Barry chose to save her, not to save her, and let her die, she still is going to end up surviving and reset everything. Which, being a connected universe, this explains a little bit the finale of Arrow and some of the stuff we've heard with Arrow. Because Stephen Amell has said, you're not going to see Arrow anymore.
Yeah.
He's done. He's not playing Arrow anymore.
That's true. And, the thing is, we don't know exactly, because Wells and his... Well, I guess she was married at that point.
Yeah.
And his wife were both in Starling City. So the thing is, if Eobard takes him out, well, with Eobard being taken out of the picture, they go back to Starling City. We don't know what they did.
Well, no, we know they are. Before Eobard changed it, they were still going to build the particle accelerator at Star Labs. Eobard moved them 10 years early.
Yeah.
So there has to be some. They're going to have to affect things that happened in Starling also because they were taken out of the picture 10 years early.
Well, look, think about this. What if him moving everything 10 years early means, if you take that out, now maybe the crisis is what we just saw. The one that was supposed to be 10 years from now is what we just saw. That's the crisis.
That's
it
true.
Resets everything.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then that also brings up, we were talking earlier about the Legends of Tomorrow and in Black Canary's, or Sarah's death. Well, now with time being reset, once again, I can't talk. But with time being reset again, who's to say she died the way she did and she stayed dead? Now, maybe she did die, but they got her to the Lazarus Pit right away.
Based on that little trailer, it looked like she was coming out of the pit.
Exactly.
So someone got her there at some point.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
well, even in the comics, there's a certain amount of time that you have to before the pit won't work.
Right.
I don't know how much that is, but
so Thea getting stabbed, they got her there instead.
Yeah, maybe instead of Thea being stabbed, she took that place.
That's true, and. Whose race now is it? The race that we know.
Well, yeah, maybe Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul is still race now.
Yeah,
right.
But that's cool because that means hopefully that means instead of being Arrow, Stephen Amell is going to come back and actually be Green Arrow.
I think that's probably what we're going to see because the season finale definitely looked. We know it's not a series finale, but it looked and it felt like a series finale.
Well, yeah. Didn't they say the next season was going to be a little lighter?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what they said.
And Arrow's been pretty dark so far.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk on the Easter eggs. Some of the hidden things that were in this Flash episode that was amazing. Mainly, Dawn, you looked and saw a couple of websites that said all the different Easter eggs. So, but mainly they were in the Speed Force footage, weren't they?
Right, they were.
You had the first one, you could actually see Killer Frost.
That was, I think, the big one. Because everyone up till now had been asking, you know, when's she going to be Killer Frost? Is Killer Frost showing up? And just, I think it was just the week before the finale, the actress had actually said, don't worry, she's showing up.
Yeah.
But that was all she said.
Well, that and Greg Berlanti, I believe, it even said that we'll see Vibe sooner than later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in this show, we saw Vibe.
Right.
Anybody who didn't see it that's been spoiled now for everything, that everybody knows
Cisco. Okay, you should have seen the finale by now.
Yeah. Well, Cisco, everybody knows in the comics at this point that Cisco is Vibe. Well, during the show, you find out that Eobard tells him that, guess what? You've been a metahuman all the time. I suspected it, but now we know. Since he can feel vibrations, obviously, that's why you can see the other timelines.
Right.
And Vibe has all about vibrations and sound waves and things.
Right.
That's why he remembered him being killed.
Exactly.
Which is interesting for him to have been third, fourth level character that was created in the 80s. He suddenly is brought to the forefront.
The interesting thing now, though, is because it works with other TV shows when you do this, if you go back and watch Flash Season 1 from the beginning and see how Cisco develops, if there's any other little clues along the way.
Yes.
You know, there may be a clue with, you know, that whole sequence where he was able to get Barry's images out of that mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be vibration related.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
There could be other stuff along the way, I think.
Well, that was Caitlin and Cisco. So you never know. After this Time Storm thing, we may actually have Killer Frost instead of Caitlin Snow.
Right. I mean, because we know that Robbie is not going to be in.
Somehow he's not going to be in Legends Tomorrow.
Right.
A couple theories I've heard on the podcast is maybe something happens within the first two or three episodes of Flash next season that actually Ronnie dies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it was Jason something is actually also Firestorm in the comic books.
Yeah, yes.
And so something happens that they switch and the other guy is part of Firestorm.
Right. And I think that his death could kind of kick Caitlin into being Killer Frost.
Right.
But isn't there something in the comics about she has to have some kind of interaction with Hive? And Hive is supposed to play a role in the next season of Arrow.
Right.
Yeah. So you never know. And also, I believe with Hive and stuff, Arrow has already shown they're going to bring more magic into Arrow for next year, too.
Right. Which, I have to admit, I have to give DC props in that I don't know if they picked this up from what Marvel is doing, but they're doing a really good job of introducing the deeper elements from the universe, and it's a good way of encouraging maybe even casual fans to refer to the comics.
Yeah,
to get backstories. Well, I'm liking that.
I think some of that is actually getting people like Geoff Johns to help them develop their stories, and I believe the producers and directors of TV and movies at this point now. Actually, we're finally getting to the point where they grew up as geeks.
Yeah.
You got guys like J.J. Abrams that grew up on Star Wars is actually making Star Wars now. Mm-hmm. And things like that. That they grew up fans of this franchise, so they're going to do it right because they remembered what it was like when they were a kid.
Exactly.
Okay, I have something I was just looking up.
Uh-oh.
I know, I have to have something, right? Do you know Cobalt Blue?
I've heard of
Cobalt. Yeah, I've heard of him. He's one of the Flashes.
There's a theory that that's who Eddie is.
Yeah, I've heard that
right one. Before he died, a lot of people spotted he was wearing some kind of talisman or ring around his neck that apparently has some kind of relation to Cobalt Blue.
It's the engagement ring.
Was it the engagement ring, though?
It's possible.
I mean, because apparently Cobalt Blue in the comics is Malcolm Thawne.
Yeah. I've heard this theory since the very beginning that this was a possibility.
That he was actually Barry's secret twin brother. That his mom gave birth to twins.
Hmm.
And, so there's that. I mean, is he about... I mean, I'm not saying that the show would necessarily do it, but is Eddie about the same age as Barry?
Well, that's...
So?
Also, you gotta think, with this resetting of time, Eddie's probably still alive again.
Yeah.
Well, and Eddie, like, in this universe, Eddie did kind of take on almost like a big brother role.
Mm-hmm.
With Barry, like, teaching him how to fight and...
Yeah.
That's
just a theory, anyways. Based on what people
saw. Another thing with the time storm that's kind of sweet is this means we may still get Tom Cavanaugh the next season.
That's true.
But actually, as Harrison Wells, not as Harrison Wells Eobard Thawne.
Yeah.
And he's not going to have. There's no reason to believe, I guess, that he will have any residual memories about what happened.
No, because it'll be a separate timeline.
Right.
And he's not Vibe.
That's right.
Well, the other thing is, though, Barry's going to be the only one who knows who he was. It's kind of like, how is Barry going to react to him being himself again? Like, everyone else is just going to treat him as he is. But Barry knows what he
Well, does
had
Barry
been.
Know? That's the thing. Because if this resets it and Barry now grew up with his actual parents, that...
Yeah, but then it's kind of like, does Barry remember what goes on in the different timelines? That's
part of
the question.
What'd be interesting is if Barry doesn't remember... But Cisco does.
Right.
Exactly, because Cisco might,
So,
But I'm kind of disappointed, though, because, the dude who played him, he's such a good bad guy. Like, he's got that little evil tinge. Tom Cavanaugh.
That's what everybody else
he's got
said.
That evil tinge to
they're
him.
They're going
to
miss the evil
Tom
Cavanaugh.
The thing is, you know that he actually holds some level of affection for everybody at Star. Mm-hmm. You know that. But then at the same time, he's...
But does he really, or was he just using them?
You know what? I don't think so. I think that on a certain level, he did. But at the same time, his self-preservation takes precedence. And if it was possible for him to do what he needed to do, but at the same time, and not have his affection for Barry and Cisco and everybody else get in the way of that, he would have been okay with that.
Yeah, like,
he's there for, 20, 30 years by himself.
Mm-hmm. I like where you're going with that. I think what it is he started using all of them and then grew to like them instead.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I think the other thing I got on this was the final Easter egg.
Yeah.
Is with the helmet coming out of the singularity.
Right.
Yes.
Anybody who doesn't know, for some reason, if you've been watching Flash, you should know at least this. The original Flash was Jay Garrett in the 40s, and he actually had, it looked like blue jeans, a red Flash shirt, and that helmet. That was the costume for the Flash originally.
Right.
Now, the Flash originally was the Flash of Keystone City. Now, when they, in the 50s, when they restarted Flash, they kind of reset it all, and Keystone City had already disappeared. No one knew it existed, and they started in Central City. But back in the back originally, Keystone and Central City were actually sister cities on either side of the river, kind of like Minneapolis-St. Paul. So when Barry Allen becomes Flash, he grew up actually reading Flash comics with Jay Garrick as Flash, because no one knew that actually existed in this universe. Mm-hmm. So what had happened was one of the villains, I don't remember exactly who it was, had somehow put Keystone City, changed the vibration of the city, dink dink, and actually had moved it out of phase with our reality, and everybody had forgot it ever existed. So everybody that was in Keystone City was still there, still living their lives. They didn't realize that they weren't in sync with everybody else, and the rest of the world forgot it existed. Now, this is 50s and 60s comic lore, so
right,
it didn't have to make a whole lot of sense back then. But what's the chances, now that we got Vibe that can feel vibrations, and we actually find Keystone City at the end of this, and you find there is another Flash. There always has been, just no one remembered him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because obviously, Eobard knew about this.
Right.
Because he saw the helmet and said, that's my clue to get out of here.
Yeah. All right. Of a sudden he was like, uh-oh.
So he's like, so obviously he's tangled with someone with that helmet before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's my crazy lame brain theory, but...
Well, now, here's another question. Since this is going to be a alternate timeline or a restart or whatever, are we going to see Wally?
There is actually a theory. I believe they've been casting someone to do Wally at some point.
Yeah. It would be interesting. I mean, if you have all the various timelines, it would be interesting if they do a whole crossover with kind of like at some point, you'll see all of them together.
That would be awesome. Well, they have one more they got to do then. They got to bring Bart back from the future.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it's not like they can't time travel.
Exactly. Because originally Bart Allen was Barry Allen's grandson, I believe.
Yes.
And he's actually sent back because they don't know how to handle him in the future, so they send him back and let the Flash
deal
with him.
Well, I mean, they do have something about the future, because in that Speed Force clip, they had the Flash Museum. That's
exactly.
The future.
Yeah.
So,
that was awesome looking. If you stop it and look at it, that's sweet, with the big gold statue of the Flash in front of it.
The other thing I wonder about the Speed Force segments, though, there's one that is Barry, and he seems to be in prison.
Yeah.
He's on the phone, and he has handcuffs.
Yeah. You sure he had handcuffs?
He has handcuffs.
He had handcuffs.
Actually, there was a story, late 70s, early 80s, The Trial of the Flash. So that may have something to do with that, where he actually, the Flash was arrested for murder for some reason. Okay. Yeah. Ah, okay. See, when I saw that, I thought it was actually him talking to his dad on the phone again.
See, that's what a lot of people thought, and then when they did all the stills from it.
So maybe it has something to do with the Trial of the Flash.
Yeah, but possibly. See, his dad's not going to be in jail now.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that. That's what it looks like right now.
Right.
So, this leaves a lot of questions. They answered a lot of questions for this, guys, but they brought up a lot more.
No, I was going to say, if it's going to be Flash, and if it changes, it could happen 10 years after it didn't originally. So if it changes, could he have been arrested?
Try that again.
Could he be arrested for something before he became the actual Flash this time? That's
a possibility. You never know what they're going to do with it.
Well, see,
the other thing, though, about, like, he became Flash because something went wrong.
Right.
But if it's built when it's supposed to be built, how do you know something's going to go wrong with it?
Well, okay, now we're going to... This is something from the Doctor Who category.
Yeah, didn't Eobard basically make something go wrong?
Yeah.
Something still goes wrong.
Yeah.
He pushed it up.
But he made something go wrong with it for it to happen to make Barry Flash.
Right.
So if it's being built as it's supposed to be built and everything's going right, then nothing's going wrong with it to actually create Flash.
Well, see, now, in the original story, and I don't know if they're going to go this way with it, but in the original story, you know, there's, you know, Barry's working in this lab, lightning strike, weird mix of chemicals, boom, he's a Flash.
Yeah.
See, it has nothing to do with that, with the generator.
Yeah, so it's basically everything that happened in the show, except without the particle accelerator.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything else is the same.
There's still a big storm.
But the particle accelerator is what creates all the metahumans.
And this.
Right.
But not all, because remember, they brought in Deathbolt, had nothing to do with the particle accelerator. Mm-hmm. So they were showing that metahumans exist outside of Central City.
Right, but see, I'm wondering if what happened at the
Because remember, the they existed in Starling City.
Yeah, they brought him into Starling City, too.
Yeah, but see, I'm
well,
wondering...
Well, that's where Deathbolt was at.
Yeah. But see, I'm wondering if those... if what happened at the Particle Accelerator had a wider... like, you know, if there was a wider... sphere of effect than what we're thinking. I'm thinking...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is nothing happens with the Particle Accelerator.
Right.
Flash becomes Flash because of lightning and chemicals.
Right.
Possibly. So the, Eobard said it would have been 10 years ahead, so you don't know what it was that caused it then.
Yeah.
He could have known and just made it happen.
Yeah, he could have still made something happen.
Yeah, that could, maybe that's what happened.
We know he
10
still
years
exists because he's just in a different timeline.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's another thing they did confirm, that next season we're going to deal with multiple timelines and dimensions. So they're going to bring the actual multiverse into the Flash officially.
Which I kind of love. Like, as someone who loves Doctor Who, I love the whole time travel thing.
Oh, yeah.
And figuring out timelines and...
DC's multiverse has, for years, been phenomenally thick with different characters and things. There's a lot of characters that people love that started in a totally different universe was brought in. Because originally, I believe, Fawcett Comics characters of the Captain Marvel or Shazam for anybody now,
right.
And the whole Marvel family, all of them was a separate universe at one point.
Right.
That's the way DC explained it.
Right.
You have, like... There's like 50 different Superman, depending on what universe you are. Sometimes he's a good guy, sometimes he's an evil guy. Right. You get Ultraman, all of those ones. You end up Power Girl.
Yeah.
Originally was, what was she, the Earth 2 Supergirl or Earth 3 Supergirl?
Yeah,
it's one of Kylan's favorites.
Sorry.
Brought up images in his head.
Stop imagining.
But yeah.
Well, I think that's what leads to, in the comics now, something like DC's Convergence.
Exactly.
Where
well, which
together.
Actually, I read somewhere that as a result of Convergence, that every DC story is now canon. I read that somewhere. I heard something about that too. Yeah,
so everything that happened before Crisis, after Crisis, before all the Zero Hour stuff, everything all the way through now is part of the same story.
Yep.
So
and this whole multiverse, multi-timeline thing kind of brings up where Legends of Tomorrow falls.
Yeah.
Like, are we talking, is this the same current universe as Flash and Arrow? Is this another timeline? Because...
Is it Earth Prime?
Because you've got a whole... the whole premise is that there's... A main character is a time traveler.
Right.
You know, and he's basically telling them, I've been to the future. I know you people turn out to be legends.
Yeah.
So let's get started.
Well, see, now, here's the thing. Like, now, is this a case where there are certain fixed points that you, no matter what you do... No matter, and I mean, this is something that is true when you look at Back to the Future. There are certain points that you just cannot change.
Well, that's
it. Just you change when it happens,
yeah.
But not the fact that it happens.
Well, with as many times as DC Comics has reset their universe, there's certain facts that happen every time. Every time, Kal-El lands on Earth.
Yeah.
Right.
Now. If you're talking Elseworlds and things, that's different. But the actual mainstream comics, I believe every time he lands in Kansas, is found by the Kents.
Right.
Every universe, Batman or Bruce Wayne's parents are killed, he becomes Batman.
Right.
Now, what he does after that is different.
Yeah, what leads up to it,
exactly.
What happens after. Yeah, that's what
makes Superman 2. Like I said, sometimes he could, or one of the university comes up as Ultraman and becomes the tyrannical dictator.
Right.
Sometimes he gets the powers early, sometimes later, but the fact that it lands and is found by the Kents happens every time. Batman, the fact that his parents are killed in the alleyway happens every time.
Every time Wonder Woman is created on Themyscira and she's sent to the outside world.
Yeah, that's true. She's the Amazon.
Amazon every time. So,
And I mean, at the very end of Flash finale, you see the characters you know are going to be in Legends of Tomorrow, you see the one who's Hawk Girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you see Andy's favorite, Frost.
Andy's gonna love it if they actually change time and bring him in as Citizen Cold. You guys ever hear about him? Citizen Cold was a Flashpoint thing that... Flashpoint was another reset of the universe.
Right.
That's what started the New 52.
Right.
Well, when Flash originally, he goes back, saves his mom, and comes back, Captain Cold is now a hero named Citizen Cold.
Andy's going to love that.
I don't think they're going to do that, but that would be awesome just to see Andy's reaction.
I'm really hoping that they do.
That's right.
And I told Andy because Cold has now been immortalized in a pop figure. I'm so tempted.
to get it for him.
To get it for him, because, you know,
I feel like we need to watch the season series premiere of Legends of Tomorrow with Andy.
Yes.
We need to record the commentary as Cold comes on the screen.
Andy's love for Cold is on the same level as my love for Flint from G.I. Joe.
Yeah, it is. It really is. We won't talk about that.
No, we won't.
We're getting into the dark side of Kylo Ren. Yeah. Right. Okay, guys, I think this is a good time to wrap it up. We've been going on for a while tonight. Yeah. Not as long as we have been going, so right. This is maybe an actual normal-sized episode. Or issue. Sorry, we don't have episodes.
But we do plenty of issues.
We do when we bring up Cold Flint.
That's Citizen Cold.
You know what?
He looks just like Captain Cold, don't
he? He looks cool. Actually, that looks cool. Now, Andy's going to see that gun, and he's going to have a problem.
Okay, geeksters. Hang on half a second here.
That's even better.
See, that looks awesome.
Andy's biggest problem is the gun and the parka.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? The dude's just so cool. He's cool as ice.
Oh.
That's right. I said that.
I see what you did there.
Go, ninja. Go, ninja. Go.
Well, look. This one's got a glowing wand. This one's fire.
Oh, that's Weather Wizard. I can tell by the thing.
Let's see.
That's got a bomb.
Okay, geeksters. Well, Caitlin, I want to thank you for coming and joining us. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, this was great.
Okay, how can we get a hold of the Falcon Academy?
You can go to falconacademy.org. We're also on Facebook. You can just look up the Falcon Academy of Creative Arts. And on Twitter, we're at SaveFACA, as part of our campaign to save the school.
Okay, and how do they find you if they want to get a hold of you if they have any questions?
You can email me at Caitlin, K-A-T-E-L-Y-N, Pauline, P-A-U-L-I-N-E, @gmail.com. Or look up Caitlin Pauline Koppelberger on Facebook. It's K-O-P-P-E-L-B-E-R-G-E-R. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
And Miss Dawn is taking care of all the writing it all down in the show notes if anybody didn't miss that.
Yes, I am.
So, as we wrap up the show, Miss Dawn, do you have anything else for us today?
I don't think I have anything else this week. I think we've covered it.
Okay, Vicky, anything else from you?
I'll behave.
Okay. Kylan, my friend, what do you have? Final thoughts.
Brisket quesadillas are amazing. And that's awesome.
And brownies.
Oh, brownies. Everybody, brownies. Thank you, because brownies, because brownies.
Yeah, continue to send in your brownie recipes.
We haven't had a brownie recipe in a few weeks. We need a new brownie recipe.
Yeah, y'all don't love us anymore? Is that what's going on?
Where's brownies?
Please. It's raining outside. We need brownies.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and then for me, you got... If you want to get a hold of us, guys, you can get us at www.kylanandken.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Listen, subscribe, rate, and review. Just find GeekWatch 1. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all as Kylan and Ken. Also, email at kylanandken@gmail.com. We're also found on the TangentBoundNetwork.com and the We Be Geeks Network. So one last shout-out. Thanks, guys, at the Mighty Marvel Geeks. All the geeksters, go give them some love and tell them thanks for having Kylan and Ken on there. And for Miss Dawn, for Kylan, for Vicky, for me, for Caitlin and Sean and Greg and Andy and everybody else that was on this issue, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, video games, and comic books? Or are you looking for some ideas on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Eric on Mighty Marvel Geeks every Saturday night on Sorcerer Radio, and every Sunday on the We Be Geeks Network, for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks. Assemble.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you are listening to a promo. And this promo is to promote Viva La Nerd, the podcast that has the entire nation talking about how awesome it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is a podcast that is very funny, and you must listen to it.
That is taking over the nation like the zombie outbreak.
Don't forget to listen to Viva La Nerd
on iTunes, Stitcher, and VivaLaNerd.org.
Is
eardrums were scientifically altered for world peace. His ears are more finely tuned than yours or mine. He can listen to a podcast from a mile away. He is the most dedicated podcast fan in the world. I do not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the Tangentbomb Network. Keep listening, my friends.
Bye-bye.